Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Sarah Reynolds.
I'm Wendy Papazan.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. It's a spooky time in real estate. And we're coming to you.
Oh, that's really good.
Wow, Wendy. Yeah.
Nice. Nice job. Y'all, it's October 30th, which means that it is almost Halloween.
Halloween.
And I don't know about you out there, but we have had some pretty insane situations happening across all of our real estate businesses as hosts. And, you know, I know that people think that real estate agents dress cute and run around sipping their lattes in their little Lexus and get to show multi-million dollar houses every day. But for real, we have had some experiences in our careers that are downright spooky, gross, shady, and sometimes scary. So in honor of Halloween this week, we are bringing you spooky tales from the real estate diaries.
I love this. You were so good. Can we just pause and be like, that was perfection.
I know, we should charge for this episode.
Yeah, you guys. But yeah. I need a 5-star review right now on that intro is what I need. I need a 5-star review on that.
Wendy's been asking, you know, with each episode, like, what problem? We need to solve our listeners' problems. What problem are we solving? And today we are solving the need to laugh and or just have some people with us in our misery. Please join us. That's the problem we're solving
today.
Well,
yeah, so many crazy things happen in real estate. I actually thought it would be fun to have a podcast where people just come on and they share like one crazy story from something that happened to them in the real estate world. But I have something that was actually really creepy. So we took a house for sale in Austin, and it was a guy who's owned the property, and his brother was living in it. And his brother was not maintaining it the way he should. And his brother was trying to kind of sell it on his own and actually had these really kind of creepy open house signs that he'd hand painted and was just trying to do all these things. And so then the brother decided to hire us. And in the meantime, he had asked his brother to exit the property. And so we thought the brother was out, and I went over there to check on something. And you know how when you walk in somewhere and your like hackles go up, like your spidey sense kicks in? So I walked into this place and I was like, oh, this is weird. Something is wrong here. It was just really creepy. And then I heard a noise that I thought was behind, because there was this weird kind of thing over the fireplace. And so I thought somebody was... I thought it was actually some kind of animal behind the fireplace, because it was this really weird noise. So I walked all around. I kind of got everything that I needed to get done. And then I left, and I was super creeped out. I mean, I was really, really creeped out. And then I found out later, the brother told me, the brother who was selling the house, was that the brother who had been living there actually broke back in, because we had the locks changed and everything, broke back in and was living in the attic.
No.
Yes, was living in the attic, and the neighbor saw a light in the attic, and that's how they found out about it, and they actually
Isn't
ended
that
up
Shel
arresting
Silverstein
him.
Book? A light in the attic?
Yeah. So, yeah, so actually, he was there. I don't know if he was like
creeping
what
around.
The noise
or
was that I heard, but
like on the floorboards. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, that was super creepy.
I had one in Fort Worth that it was like early on in my career. So I'm like 23. And it was a referral from one of our other clients. And it was for this house in Fort Worth that had like some land on it. And then it had this house. It was probably like 1,500 square feet. And this woman comes to the door and she's like, hey, thank you for, you know, coming over. And so usually when I walk a property, I take notes as I'm walking it. And so I'm kind of like looking down, taking notes, and I walk in and immediately like almost trip over like a pile of trash. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I kind of like slide around the trash. I look up and the whole, both lines of the entry hallway are lined with trash in boxes all the way to the ceiling, like the whole way. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm learning about hoarding today. All right. So I like walk in the living room, walk in the kitchen. I walk back to the first bedroom and I'm taking notes, and it's the bedroom is so full that like you, it's like, there's like a tunnel you can kind of walk through. And at this point I'm like questioning my life's choices and I'm taking notes, like trying to figure out what's in this house. I'm like, I can't even tell what type of flooring is in here. And so I'm like taking notes to myself, trying to keep myself cool. And I turn down and I look at my notes and all of a sudden to my right, out of the pile of trash comes a human. And literally her brother like came out of the trash and y'all, I screamed so loud.
Oh my goodness.
And I left. I was like, I can't, I cannot do that. Nope. I was like, you're going to have to find somebody else. I can't do this. And I literally like chickened out. I couldn't do it. It scared me so bad. I was like, what's going to come out of the next room? Like what is living in the next room? So, yeah. So literally out of the wall of garbage comes the brother. Wow.
Did you ask, like, am I being recorded right now? Am I being pranked? Like,
I didn't even think about it. I probably was. I mean, but they were like, you know, really nice, but you could just tell like there was a lot going on there. And like by the fifth room that's just filled with trash, it's like, how many dumpsters is this going to take? And they weren't really in reality that was a problem. So they were just excited to show it the way it was. And so I was like, I don't know that we're going to be able to accomplish anything on here. Yeah. But when the brother came out of the trash, that sealed the deal for me. I couldn't do it.
Ew. I had a similar situation of running out of a house.
Really?
I was showing a house, and we come in to the house, and it had a two-story foyer. Yeah. We come in the house, and the buyer grabs my arm and looks at me and goes, "There are ghosts here." And I was like,
"What?
Okay." Yeah. I hadn't had that happen before, and so I was like, okay. I said, do you want to leave? You know, if that's what you're, I'm okay. But just so you know, there are ghosts.
The ghosts convey.
And so I was like, okay. So we start showing the house and we go upstairs and I show the main bedroom and then come out to the hallway. And as we come out the hallway, the chandelier that is in the middle of the foyer, like from the ceiling, starts
the big
swaying.
One.
I left.
Wow.
I was like, okay. Like, I think you were in. I told you there were ghosts here.
Wow. Like,
oh my goodness. Wow. So, yeah, I chose to leave. That was scary.
So scary. So scary. Ooh. Well, I haven't had any real ghost stories. The only ghost house I was ever in really was actually a couple years ago when we took our weird trip. Remember when Carissa and I and Lee Bogar and Alyssa De Leon, shout out to all three of them. We literally saved each other during COVID by going on this weird trip around Texas. And we were staying in this place in Ballinger, Texas, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And there was a haunted house. And we didn't think we were going to get to see it, but we came out of this really bad Mexican restaurant where nobody was wearing masks. Oh. And there was somebody going into this haunted house that Carissa had been obsessed about. So we made a mad dash across the square. We were like literally running, and then we went and we knocked on the house. And this couple and the guy who owned this like haunted house, he rents it out to let people sleep there. And so we ended up walking around, and it was super creepy. There was like a chair at the end of the hallway where I swear we could all see ghosts. There was a whole room full of really creepy dolls. I don't know. Something was going on there, but
yeah.
Luckily, I didn't have to sell it. So
that's the best part. We had one that the seller told us was haunted when we brought the buyer through, and it was a pilot that had built the house for his family and then ended up dying in a plane crash. And they felt for sure that it was the pilot kept coming back to see his family, and the family had long since sold the house. But we went through the kitchen into the bedrooms and came back out in the kitchen, and all the kitchen cabinet doors were open. And then, went into, like, another part of the house. You know, obviously we're, like, creeped out. We're like, ugh. We went into another part of the house and came back, and they all were closed again.
Wow.
Like, oh. Wow.
But was it soft close cabinets or
no? No, not soft close. It was before the days of soft close. It's like 05, 06. So before our soft close, that would have been slam. I mean, we weren't in there when they closed, so I don't know how they closed. It could have been loud. I don't know. We were in the backyard. But yeah, it was really, really kind of crazy. But they were like, he's a nice ghost. He's just here visiting his family, looking for where they are. It's like, wow. That's crazy. Wow.
at Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
I've had some scary situations and sort of sad. I don't know, yeah. Like of during, I got my real estate license in 2006 and, you know, that was mm-hmm. the height of the market and when the Great Recession started yeah. without us knowing at the time. And we had to do cash for keys a lot. Did you guys ever yeah. have to do cash for mm-hmm. keys? It was awful. Yeah. It was, and it's scary.
It was really
and the
sad.
Worst. Yeah. You, yeah. you were kicking families out of their home. It was awful. Awful yeah. time of real estate for sure. Scary and sad. So
yeah.
don't want to repeat that.
No. And I'm thankful banks are trying to handle it differently these days than
yes,
they
were, for sure.
were before.
For sure.
Yeah. We had a flip one time that we were doing in one of the historical parts of Dallas, and Quinn was like 6 months. She was like probably 8 months old. And Nick had this whole house in the historic district, like completely had to be gutted, like down to the studs. You keep the walls on the outside and the whole inside had to be rebuilt. And we had, I mean, foundation guys, you know, concrete, plumbing, electrical, everybody crawling in, up, top, all over the house. And Nick, one of the days, was over there working with the guys and he's crawling under the house to go get something. And he grabs, like, and the electricity was still on at the house, but everything was like being replaced. And he grabs this wire underneath the house that looks like a dead wire and throws it, like moving it out of the way as he's army crawling under the house. And it hits one of the metal ducts for the HVAC underneath the house and goes and explodes, like sparks everywhere. And he's like, what was that? He goes back and looks. Y'all, it was a 220 voltage. Like, if that had hit him, that, like, wow. that's like a heart-stopping voltage thing. And we'd had, you know, he's like, I've had probably 30 to 40 guys crawling under the house with that. Like, it's a miracle, wow. an absolute miracle nobody was killed with that. Can you imagine? It's just, and it was a live wire that some of the previous owners had just had under there. Like, the house hadn't burned down. I mean, woo! So, y'all think we get to walk around sipping lattes. We're throwing 220s over here.
So, if we've got any new realtors that are listening uh-huh. to this podcast who are thinking like, wow, I really want to get into this business. Well, you're just finding out the reality of everything
mm-hmm.
here.
So true.
I sold a house once where there were all of these like open kind of cardboard boxes just filled with used running shoes and nothing else. And I just thought like, I'm glad I'm not a runner in this neighborhood. You know, I didn't really.
Someone stealing their shoes?
It was something creepy. Yeah, there was something creepy going on.
There's a Law and Order SV. Before I had Olivia, my first daughter, I always watched. I loved Law and Order SVU.
Interesting.
And after I had her, I couldn't watch it anymore. Because it's about, you know, kids. Yeah. And there's an episode that's like that where they collect the things.
Yeah, it was creepy. Ooh.
That is scary.
Yeah, it was very creepy.
Ooh.
It was very creepy. I mean, it was probably somebody who had a nonprofit or something like that, you know, helping people with shoes, but
true.
Maybe
it didn't
or
feel
maybe
like
it was a
it.
Creeper. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was a
it
creeper.
Didn't feel like it.
If you're out there like collecting it. People's used shoes and you're not doing charity, I just want you to know as realtors, we're on to you and don't do it.
You think we sip lattes. We save lives here.
Yes, we do. 100%. 100%. You're right, Sarah.
Yes. Yes. We had a time we did save a life. There was a buyer that was buying a really nice house. It was a husband, wife, and a daughter. The wife ends up the day before closing going MIA. Completely MIA. The husband, like, is not bothered that she has disappeared with the child, but completely gone. And we go on this 24-hour manhunt to try to find her. Like, we're like, is she, oh, my gosh, please don't tell me she's, like, buried somewhere in the backyard. Like, we're literally like scouring. This is before like phone records were easy to find because it was like no iPhone type tracking stuff. And we finally find through Facebook, like a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. She had fled because of domestic abuse to Australia with the child, like vanished. If they hadn't been dying, like,
yes,
who knows what would have happened in tracking.
Well, I can top that. I had a two things, actually. I had a couple. They had two kids. And it was actually a friend of mine referred it to me. And they got several calls from this wife in the middle of the night. Ooh. And her husband ended up murdering her.
Oh, my goodness.
In the house that I just sold them. I helped them sell their house and then buy the house. And then shortly thereafter, he murdered her.
That's awful.
Yeah, I think the kids were away that weekend, but it was really awful because there was some communication, like outward communication, like, hey, I could use some help here. And it was just really awful. And then the second thing was I had a realtor on my team. Mm-hmm. Went on a listing appointment, and it was a situation where a couple was getting divorced, and the realtor met one of the spouses outside the house, and they got there, and the door was open a little bit, which was kind of weird, so they went in, and it turned out that the other spouse was attempted to hang themselves in the garage, was just dangling there from the rope.
Oh, my gosh.
And so this realtor on my team actually, you know, you just go into pure instinct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lifted this person up, put him on the ground.
Miracle.
Got the noose off and actually resuscitated him. Got 911, took him to the hospital.
Wow.
Literally.
In fact, he's fine.
Yeah, seriously.
This person's fine. So, so truly, we can save lives.
This is getting a little bit juicy.
Seriously, y'all. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I have a funny one too. I have a funny one too. Okay.
I'm on a
listing appointment.
Yeah.
And I'm in. And we're used to being in people's homes. Like, we're used to being in their bedrooms. And so we don't think anything of it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's every day.
You see things like most family and friends don't see.
So we're standing in their bedroom, this couple's bedroom. And I will never forget it. It was like me here, the couple in front of me, their bed. Behind me is the bathroom. And then to the left side is the closet. And they said, now in the closet, we have a safe. And I was like, oh, okay, that's awesome. And I said, is it attached? You know, are you planning on leaving it? And they were like, well, we wanted to ask you about it. And the wife is asking me about it, right? And I said, well, it depends on if you want to take it, you know, but if it's attached, then we need to detach it from the wall. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, well, it has her things in it. Mm. And I was like, what? And he goes, so it carries all of her things.
Like a buzz?
A buzz. Yes. Oh. And I was like, so awkward. You're in their room. They're like, you're with this couple. And basically letting me know that's where she houses her toys.
I am so naive with that kind of stuff. I would have made them have to tell me, Sarah. Like, you are so much quicker than I am. I would have been like, what's the problem? We had this house that was like at the time it was like definitely one of the higher end ones in Dallas. Now it's all the prices have cut up, but back in the day it was like $1.5 million Mediterranean gorgeous house, and really like high profile clients that traveled a lot, that like it was an agent to meet for showings and all that kind of stuff. And we got a call. It was like a Saturday morning at like 9 a.m. We got the call at like 8 p.m. the night before. We want to see it the next morning. And so Maria, my team, and I are like, okay, we'll go do agent to meet. We get there, you know, 10, 15 minutes before the showing, turn on all the lights, all that stuff. So we walk in and look down, and there is dirty underwear everywhere scattered throughout the house, because when they got home, they just were ripping off stuff to go to bed and like do whatever and then left. And so the showing got scheduled in between the time they were home, the cleaners came and they left. And there's just clothes and like personal, very personal things all over the house. And so Marie and I are freaking out. We're like, what do you do? So we both go run into the kitchen and grab tongs.
Smart.
We're
rapid problem solving.
Yes, this is our rapid responsiveness. We're running around the house with kitchen tongs, grabbing bras and dirty underwear and all the stuff to put in the laundry hamper so these buyers showing up in 10 minutes would have no idea what a pigsty it was when we got there. But I mean, I can handle shirts and pants and stuff like that, no problem. But, like, I don't want to pick up your underwear when I'm going to show a house. So,
absolutely not.
Yes. Absolutely not. That is. I love that. That is the level we go to here at Vanpool Properties.
Yeah, so true.
We went to, so I had an investor who owned an investment property, owned a rental, and she had asked me to go take a look at it because she hadn't been there for a little while. And so she said, go over, take a look, and let me know what you think. So I walk in, and there is a floor-to-ceiling cage, like probably, I don't know, 7-8 feet tall. It's probably 5 feet wide. Giant cage in the living room. Yeah, it's huge, right? It's a really big cage. And in it is a live squirrel who's full-grown, live squirrel, just like, you know, doing his squirrel thing, running around, being a squirrel, you know, looking like a rodent thing in the living room. So then I get to call this landlord and say, like, hey, you know what? I don't know if you know this. I don't know what your pet policy is, but there is a live squirrel, not in a tiny cage, but in a very, very, very large cage in the living room. What do you want me to do about it? So,
what did they do? Were they like just let it be squirrely?
I just think they left it.
Like...
Yeah, so they left it, and then you have to put in the public remarks something about the squirrel. You know, just FYI, you know, you can't make this stuff up. There is a live squirrel in the living room, and like realtors are calling me, like, what's the squirrel business?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
I love real estate because you see that God made a variety of humans.
Yes.
With a variety of interests.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, oh my, you really see it when you work with a lot of people and meet a lot of people.
And if you're in real estate right now listening and you have a good story, we really want you to like comment on this episode and put it in there or send it to us. Cause like we totally love hearing your stories on this.
Yeah, so this could be a great podcast.
Yeah.
It could be so funny.
Yeah. If you have one, we want you to send it to us because we definitely want to know what your crazy real estate stories are.
And the best way to send it to us is by putting a 5-star review and put it part of the review of what was your funniest story you heard on this episode and then add in your funny story.
Yes.
But we are really wanting to grow the impact that we make. And part of that is getting a 5-star review. So that's a perfect way for us to see the story. And then also it would help us impact more people. So just a little plug for that.
Okay. So as an aside, can we talk about costumes really quick?
Please.
Oh, yes.
So what's the best costume you have ever worn on Halloween? Could be when you're a kid, could be when you're an adult. What was your favorite costume ever?
Nick and I dressed up as giant elephants. And there were two of us. Like we each were stuffed elephants, like giant stuffed elephants with little hats on.
When was that?
We were adults. We were probably in your early 20s.
Yeah, I have this great idea for a couple costumes.
Yes. Yeah. Because think about it. It's comfortable. So you don't have to like be like sexy, whatever, right? Like it's like super comfortable.
It doesn't
anywhere
sound
I went,
comfortable.
It was so comfortable. It was like walking around with pillows all around you all night. And so no matter where I went, I could like take a nap. I could just sit and enjoy. Aww. It was so
great.
Hey
babe, let's dress up as pachyderms.
What?
Yeah, that was a good one.
I totally see Nick as an elephant because he's so tall.
Yeah.
I feel like Dumbo.
You should have been like the monkey. He should have been the elephant. You should have been the monkey. That would have been cute.
I probably looked like Dumbo.
That's so funny.
So the other day, George and I are out on our date night and his phone, he had his phone out and on it was a picture of me dressed up as Daenerys from Game of Thrones.
Ooh, I remember that.
Which is a couple, it was a couple years ago. And yeah. I was like, and that was his picture in his phone for when I call. And aww. I was like, it was many years wow. ago. And I was like, you,
it's just some dragons.
I know. And so that was fun because he loves Game of Thrones. And yeah, so it was like, show. It was fun to
well,
see him like.
That's a good costume
like,
for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was so fun. Yeah. So fun. Yeah. What about you, Wendy?
Okay, mine is really stupid, but when I was in the sixth grade, which is basically, it's kind of your last ditch, you know, for costuming. I mean, maybe you're rolling into middle school, but so I was in the sixth grade, and of course, I grew up in northern Minnesota, where often it's very cold, so you have to have a costume. Like, sexy costume's not a thing. You want a costume that you can wear with a snowsuit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And so I had designed this costume, which was a Rubik's Cube. And this was when the Rubik's Cube was really popular.
Yeah.
This is when it first came out. Like, I'm so OG. And I had this brilliant idea to get these big pieces of poster board, right? Yeah. And I made like it was basically a four-sided cube and then a spot all for right. my neck. And then I took this black tape and I made the little things with it. And it was totally homemade. It fit over my snowsuit, and I was so proud of it. And then I went out, and all of the little old ladies that lived in my neighborhood were like, "What are you?" Because they didn't know what a Rubik's Cube was. So I just was walking around. People were like, "What are you?" Just imagine if you didn't know what a Rubik's Cube was, and some kid shows up, some dorky sixth grader shows up at your door. What are you?
I love that. It's so creative. I love mm-hmm. that one.
I love
that's
that
awesome.
One.
Yeah. A couple of our young mamas at Empower Home last year were milk jugs. And I thought that was so creative because they were
that's
nursing.
Cute.
That is literally
like, oh, that's
what you
cute.
Are.
Yes. Yeah, that's literally that's what cute. You are. That was so cute.
Yeah.
So
Quinny had one year cute. She wanted to be a lemur monkey. And this is like, I wasn't paying attention at the zoo to what a lemur monkey was. I thought she was telling
well,
me she
monkeys.
Wanted to be. Well, that's what she called them. Okay. But that's also probably why I was confused.
They're different
but
species.
I thought she meant a lemming. And so I originally thought she wanted to be one of these guys that just like runs off the cliff. And I was like, let's have higher goals for ourselves.
And so, no rodentia. No, not in my family.
Yeah, I was like, no, we all don't run off the cliff. That's not what we do. We are leaders in this family. So then after I Googled it and figured out what a lemur was, we then had to make three lemur costumes that we all
lemurs
wore.
Lemurs are so cute.
So, they
I
are
love
really
lemurs.
Cute. Yeah,
they're so Madagascar. When, they're probably on the Seychelles.
Yeah, yeah, they probably are. They're definitely on Madagascar. Yeah. I don't know if they can swim over to the Seychelles or not. I didn't see any when I was there. I'll say that. But they could be there. But yes, so we were a family of lemurs one time, which is very fun.
And
also
I've
never had a theme costume. My family has never been ever.
Oh, really?
Ever my whole life.
You and Jay never. Should be a theme this year.
No, they don't want. They never want to do it. It's like probably the greatest regret of my life. I'll probably be on my deathbed. And that'll
like,
probably
I
be
wish
like,
I would have
I'll
been.
Probably be like, I had such a good full life. I did everything I could except the family costume. And then that'll show them.
That'll show
them. They'll be like,
the one thing I
if
wanted.
If only we had.
Well, guys, it is so important to pause and see the humor in life and just in business. And many times at the time, these things are scary, but it's good to stop and pause and laugh at them. So we want to hear your stories, as Seychelle said, and we thank you for joining us today for our spooky episode. And I'm not super good with the noises. So, yeah. So.
Wendy and I got you. You're good.
We wish all of you a happy and fun Halloween, and share your kiddos' costumes with us. Or if you have an amazing costume, share. Or we can all make Wendy jealous this Halloween.
Yeah,
and do
show
some
us your family costume.
Get out there and have a big business and an even bigger life. Bye, guys.
Stay safe,
bye,
y'all.
Guys.
Yes, stay safe.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.